Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Ches. The third parak is Zeb Borer. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe ben Yamin ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav said, Achi Abba, O Ya'id Li Hu V'no V'chasuno. My father's brother cannot testify for me, neither he, nor his son, nor his son-in-law. I too cannot testify for my father's brother, neither I, nor my son, nor my son-in-law. This second statement that a son or son-in-law cannot testify about a great uncle is Shlishi Barishon, a third generation relative testifying about a first generation relative. The Gemara said our Mishnah only disqualifies Sheni B'Sheni, a second generation relative testifying about another second generation relative, or a Sheni Barishon, but it does not disqualify a third generation relative from testifying about a first generation. The Gemara answers that Rav's opinion, although it does not agree with the Mishnah, is based on Rabbi Elazar, who taught in a Braisa that his cousin cannot testify about him, nor can his son or son-in-law, proving he does disqualify the testimony of a third-generation relative, a cousin's son. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Elazar even disqualifies a Shlishi B'Sheni, since the cousin's son cannot even testify about his father's cousin. The Gemara concludes that Rav partially agrees with Rabbi Elazar and partially disagrees. Their respective drushes are explained. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Maoshi Yayu Adam Be'eshes Chorga, what is the halacha regarding testifying for one's stepson's wife about her property? Rashi explains that one definitely cannot testify about the wives of the other relatives in the Mishnah, since he cannot testify about the sons of those relatives who stand to inherit from their mother's properties. In Surah, they said, Baal Ki Ishto, a husband, is like his wife. Therefore, any woman relative about whom he cannot testify, meaning a stepdaughter, he also cannot testify about her husband. In Bumadisa, they said, Isha Kabbalah, a woman is like her husband, so one may not testify about the wife of any man relative for whom he cannot testify, for example, a stepson. Rav derives that a woman is like her husband from the Torah prohibiting relations with an uncle's wife, calling her Dodascha, your aunt, even though she's actually his uncle's wife. This proves that a wife is like her husband. And point number three, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, Made Adamu Ishto Arusa, a person may testify about his Arusa wife because he's not yet related to her. Ravina said this only applies to testifying to take away money from her, but to bring money to her, he's not believed since he knows the money will become his after Nisuan. However, the Gemara says this is not so, and he's not believed either way regarding his Arusa. Although Ula taught that one's Arusa is not his wife for many halachas, such as mourning, becoming tummy for her burial, and inheritance, there, the Torah hinged these laws on close relationship, which an Arusa is not. In contrast, the disqualification of relatives' testimony is mishum ikaruve daita, because of closeness of feeling, and this closeness exists for an Arusa. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav said, Achi Abba lo yayid li hu uvno v'chasno. My father's brother cannot testify for me, neither he, nor his son, nor son-in-law. I too cannot testify for my father's brother, neither I, nor my son, nor my son-in-law. This second statement that a son or son-in-law cannot testify about a great uncle is Shlishi Barishon, a third generation relative testifying about a first generation relative. The Gemara said our Mishnah only disqualifies Sheni B'Sheni, a second generation relative testifying about another second generation relative, or a Sheni Barishon, but it does not disqualify a third generation relative from testifying about a first generation. The Gemara answers that Rav's opinion, although it does not agree with the Mishnah, is based on Rabbi Elazar, who taught in a Braisa that his cousin cannot testify about him, nor can his son or son-in-law, proving he does disqualify the testimony of a third-generation relative, a cousin's son. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Elazar even disqualifies a Shlishi B'Sheni, since the cousin's son cannot even testify about his father's cousin. The Gemara concludes that Rav partially agrees with Rabbi Elazar and partially disagrees. Their respective drushes are explained. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Maoshi Yayu Adam Be'eshes Chorga, what is the halacha regarding testifying for one's stepson's wife about her property? Rashi explains that one definitely cannot testify about the wives of the other relatives in the Mishnah, since he cannot testify about the sons of those relatives who stand to inherit from their mother's properties. In Surah, they said, Baal Ki Ishto, a husband, is like his wife. Therefore, any woman relative about whom he cannot testify, meaning a stepdaughter, he also cannot testify about her husband. In Bumadisa, they said, Isha Kabbalah, a woman is like her husband, so one may not testify about the wife of any man relative for whom he cannot testify, for example, a stepson. Rav derives that a woman is like her husband from the Torah prohibiting relations with an uncle's wife, calling her Dodascha, your aunt, even though she's actually his uncle's wife. This proves that a wife is like her husband. And point number three, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, Made Adam Ishto Arusa, a person may testify about his Arusa wife because he's not yet related to her. Ravina said this only applies to testifying to take away money from her, but to bring money to her, he's not believed since he knows the money will become his after Nisuan. However, the Gemara says this is not so, and he's not believed either way regarding his Arusa. Although Ula taught that one's Arusa is not his wife for many halachas, such as mourning, becoming tummy for her burial, and inheritance, there, the Torah hinged these laws on close relationship, which an Arusa is not. In contrast, the disqualification of relatives' testimony is mishum ikaruve daita, because of closeness of feeling, and this closeness exists for an Arusa. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chaf Ches, and our standard Siman relates to Koach, strength, and we use a strong man for the Siman, strong man. So here goes. The strong man who ran a special exercise class for disqualified Edim was training two Sheni B'Sheni cousins, together with a man who wasn't permitted to testify against his stepson's wife. When a newly engaged Bacher walked in and asked to join, since he wasn't permitted to testify about his Arusa. Once again, in slow motion. The strong man, that must be on Daf Chaf Ches. Koach. The strong man who ran a special exercise class for disqualified Edim was training two Sheni B'Sheni cousins, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether relatives disqualify each other from Edus, such as Sheni B'Sheni cousins, Sheni B'Shlishi, or Shlishi B'Rishon. So, the strong man who ran a special exercise class for disqualified Edim was training two Sheni B'Sheni cousins, together with a man who wasn't permitted to testify against his stepson's wife, which reminds us, Gemara asks, Maushi Yayid Adam Be'eshes Chorgo, what is the halacha regarding testifying for one stepson's wife about her property? In Surah, they said, Balki Ishto, a husband, is like his wife. Therefore, any woman relative about whom he cannot testify, meaning a stepdaughter, he also cannot testify about her husband. In Pumbedisa, they said, Isha Kabbalah, a woman is like her husband, so one may not testify about the wife of any man relative for whom he cannot testify, for example, a stepson. So the strong man who ran a special exercise class for disqualified Edim was training two Sheni B'Sheni cousins together with a man who wasn't permitted to testify against his stepson's wife. When a newly engaged Bacher walked in and asked to join since he wasn't permitted to testify about his Arusa, which reminds us, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, Made Adam Ishto Arusa, a person may testify about his Arusa wife because he's not yet related to her. Ravina said this only applies to testifying to take away money from her, but to bring money to her, he's not believed since he knows the money will come to him after Nisuan. However, the Gemara says this is not so, and he's not believed either way regarding his Arusa. So once again, the strong man who ran a special exercise class for disqualified Edim was training two Sheni B'Sheni cousins, together with a man who wasn't permitted to testify against his stepson's wife. When a newly engaged Bacher walked in and asked to join, since he wasn't permitted to testify about his Arusa. All right, so now it's time for a four blah bach chazara. Daf Chav Dalet. So the Siman Daf Chav Dalet is a cud, a pitcher. So here goes. While the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher, that must be on Daf. Chav Dalet, Kud. While the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovim, which reminds us, the Gemara compares how the Talmid Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael acted toward each other versus those of Babel. So, while the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovlim, regarding what to tell the man who approached them and said, My father is acceptable to me as a judge, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a Baldaver says, Ne'aman alai Abba, my father is acceptable to me as a judge, meaning he allows him to judge despite being disqualified as a relative, or Ne'aman alai Avicho, your father is acceptable to me, or Ne'amanim alai Shlosha Roi Bakar, three ignorant cattle herders are acceptable to me. Remer says he may retract his acceptance. The Chachamim say, Enu Yachu Achzerbo, he cannot retract. So while the rabbis from Eretz Yisrael learned pleasantly together while holding a pitcher of oil labeled Noam, rabbis from Babel debated bitterly under an olive tree holding a pitcher labeled Chovlim, regarding what to tell the man who approached them and said, My father is acceptable to me as a judge, pointing to his father who was a gambler and used a pitcher to roll the dice, which reminds us, Rav Sheshet says the reason a Masachet Bekubia, a gambler, is puzzled to give Edus is not because gambling is considered an Asmachta, because he realizes that the game's outcome is not in his control and commits to its result. Rather, his disqualification is Lefi She'ein Asukim BeYeshivu Sho'olam, because he's not engaged in the settlement of the world and is therefore unfamiliar with commerce. Daf Chafei, so the Siman Daf Chafei is a 25th silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. When the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for their 25th silver wedding anniversary, 25th silver wedding anniversary? That must be more than Daf Chav Hey. When the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, which reminds the Gemara brings two pshatim of what mafrich and yonim are. They're either pigeon racers or ones who steal other people's pigeons. So when the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, she told him she would rather he do tshuva and become kosher leedus by breaking his pigeon clackers, which reminds the Gemara discusses how psalm the Mishnah regained their eligibility. A pigeon racer must break his clacker, which is used to urge the pigeons on. So when the pigeon racer presented his wife with a pile of cash from his winnings for the 25th silver wedding anniversary, she told him she would rather he do tshuva and become kosher leedus by breaking his pigeon clackers, not like his brother who steals candy from kids, making him puzzle leedus. Which reminds us, a braisa teaches that they later disqualified gazlanim and chamsanim, robbers and those who pay for someone's item which they take by force. Since gazlanim are biblically disqualified, the Gemara explains it means one who steals items found by a chereshot v'katan, which they do not legally acquire. Originally, the rabbis thought this was uncommon, or that it was not true theft, since their ownership is only mifnei darchei shalom, for the purpose of peace. However, they were eventually disqualified since they take money illegally. Daf Chavav. So the Simur Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. When the leader of the military coup, that must be more Daf Chavav. When the leader of the military coup who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashayim ain't mean a minion, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Shevna and Chizkiah and the Navi telling Chizkiah, Kesher Hashayim ain't mean a minion. An alliance of Hashayim is not counted towards the majority. So when the leader of the military coup who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashayim ain't mean a minion, he didn't bother asking a passing Talmud Chacham for help because Torah Mateshes Kocho Shadim, which reminds us, the Pasuk says, Hifli Eitza Higdol Toshia, he has shown wonderful counsel, vast wisdom. The word Toshia refers to Torah, and Rabbi Hanan explains, Mifneishi Mateshes Kocho Shadim, because it weakens a man's strength. Other drushes are brought on the word Toshia. So when the leader of the military coup who wanted to surrender found himself alone outside of the city gates because Kesher Hashayim ain't mean a minion, he didn't bother asking a passing Talmud Chacham for help because Torah Mateshes Kocho Shadim. So he turned to a soldier raising funds for a coup who was possible for Eidus because he accepted staka from Goyim, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Ochli davar acher psulin Eidus. Those who consume something else, meaning those who accept staka from Gentiles, are disqualified from giving testimony. Rashi explains that he's causing Achilul Hashem for financial purposes. He's only disqualified if he accepted the money publicly, and he could have supported himself by receiving the money privately. But if this was impossible, chiyusehu, it is necessary for his livelihood, and he remains eligible. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Zimmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. Well, one boy played his kazoo. Kazoo? That must be more Daf Chav Zayin. Well, one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eight zomim, who was upset to hear that he was disqualified. Lima Freya, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if an eight zomim is disqualified, Lima Freya or Mekanul Abba. Abai holds he is pasul Lima Freya since he's a Russia, and a Russia cannot be an aid. Rava holds that he's only pasul Mekanul Abba since the whole concept of eight zomim is a chiddush, since there's no reason why the second set of eightim should be believed any more than the first set. So, while one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eight zomim who was upset to hear that he was disqualified, Lima Freya, another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela lahachis because he was a Russia, which reminds us, Amoraim debate the status of one who eats nevela lahachis in defiance of the Torah, even where kosher meat is available. Abai says he's puzzled because he's a Russia, and the Torah says, Al tashes Russia aid, do not place a wicked person as an aid. Rava says he's kosher because Russia dechamas beina, we require him to be wicked regarding theft to be disqualified, based on the end of the pasuk, Leos Eid Hamas, to be a thieving witness. So while one boy played his kazoo to cheer up an eight zomim who was upset to hear that he was disqualified, Lima Freya, another kazoo player refused to play for a mumer who ate nevela, hachis, because he was a Russia, and instead played for a whole group of different family members sitting outside a basin who weren't allowed to testify for their relative, which reminds us the next Mishnah list, the relatives are disqualified from testifying or judging. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you learn in Torah is Mateshes Kocho Shel Adam? It weakens a man's strength. That's on Daf Chavav. Good. Number two, which daf do Amoraim describe how the loss of a wife impacts a husband, such as his world is darkened for him and he takes small steps? That's on Daf Chavbeis. Good. Number three, which daf do Malkos whether a mumer who eats nevela lahachis is disqualified from giving edus? That's on Daf Chavzayin. Good. Number four, which daf compares how the Talmid Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael acted toward each other versus those of Bavel? That's on Daf Chavdal. Good number five. Which stuff do we have the story of Shevna and Chizkia? And we go in Kesher Rishayim, Eino Min HaMinyan. That's on Daf. Chavav. Good number six. Which stuff do we discuss whether Sheni B'Sheni, Shlishi B'Sheni, and Shlishi B'Rishon relatives can testify about one another? That's on Daf. Chavches. Good number seven. Which stuff do we in the Mizbech sheds tears over one who divorces his first wife? That's on Daf. Chabez. Good number eight. Which stuff do when a man is not permitted to testify about his arusa? That's on Daf. Chavches. Good number nine. Which stuff do you have a malchuk is whether a bald din can disqualify an aid? That's on Daf. Chav Gimel. Good number ten. Which stuff do when a man is not permitted to testify about his stepson's wife since Isha Kabbalah? That's on Daf. Chavches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.